Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. It is now the 8:30 hour on Wednesday night. I, Diane Adams, your host, coming to you with Inspirational Wednesday Bible Study. And as always, it's a pleasure and an honor to be with you. I pray that everyone had a great 2 weeks, and because I wasn't here with you guys on last week, but I was thinking about you all, and I really missed the opportunity to be together, but we're back tonight, and I give all glory and honor and praise to God. I just want to let you guys know that this truly is a day that God has made. We have to learn to rejoice and be glad in it. Things may not be going as you would hope that they would, but God is still in control. He knows all about you, and he's there for you. The scripture says he will never leave you nor forsake you. We have to hold on to our hope for salvation. So at this time, we're going to go into prayer. And if anyone would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone. And I want you to know that the lesson tonight is titled, Jesus is Coming Back. We don't know when. We don't know how. But we do know why. And we're going to be discussing this with the parable of the 10 virgins. And it's found in Matthew's, the 25th verse, 25th chapter, verses 1 through 13. So those who have your Bibles, go to Matthew's 25, 1 through 13. And you can find the scripture. So let us go to the throne of grace. Dear Heavenly Father, precious God, Heavenly Father, all I want to say is thank you. I thank you, God, for what you have done and what you're doing and what you promised to do. I thank you for this opportunity that God allowed me to come before your people tonight. Lord, I pray that your word don't return void. Lord, I don't realize all of the needs of the people, but you do. And I'm going to rely and depend on you. I decrease as the Holy Ghost increase. I want you to know, Holy Ghost, to have your way with this lesson tonight. I pray that everyone receives something that they're in need of. Look down upon every home that is represented here, dear God. Remove strife, remove sickness, dear God, because you are a healer. Remove pain, dear God, because you are a healer. Heavenly Father, mend finances, because you're a way maker. Heavenly Father, I come to you on behalf of your people, and not only your people, but myself as well. And Lord, I'm going to hold on to the confession of my faith, and I'm going to ask that you just grant us what we are in need of, because there's no other name besides the name Jesus Christ that men can cry out. And we come before you, dear God. Use us, your servants. Lord, I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. And thank God. Well, for those who maybe didn't have your Bible, or those who just came on the line because the lines just lighten up, our lesson tonight is Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. You know, the Bible teaches us that no man knows the day or the hour that Jesus will come back. And he was even asked that question by his disciples. And Jesus let them know that he didn't know as well, but it was only the Father that knew. So that's why I could say Jesus is coming back and we don't know when. You know, there's a lot of times people in different religions, they'll post these things to say Jesus is coming back in 2017. Jesus is coming back on the day of thus and so. But I want to let you know, when you hear all of that, you don't have to worry about that, because the Bible tells us that no man know the hour. So when they put all of that out, you don't have to worry about that or be concerned with it because you know they don't know. Because the Bible has told us in Jesus as well. And I say we don't know, we do know how he will come back. He said he's coming back like a thief in the night. No one will know the hour, the time he's going to appear in the sky. So we do know how he's coming back. And we do know why he's coming back for his church. Not the church building, not the church organization, but us. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Each and every one of us belongs to the body of Christ. And that's the true church. So that's why he's coming back. He's coming back for his people. So the title, Jesus is Coming Back, we don't know when, we don't know how, but we do know why. And what I use for scripture background is the parable of the 10 virgins, and it's found in Matthew 25, 1 through 13. And I just want to do an introduction, and I chose Matthew tonight because he's the writer of the book. I say the book of Matthew is one of the four gospels, and we know that the gospel means the good news of Jesus Christ. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, and the Old Testament has stopped, and for those who don't know, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, it was 400 years, and then the New Testament started with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Matthew is the first book. Matthew was one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. Matthew was a Jew, and he was a tax collector, and in those days, tax collectors were despised by the people because of their unjust dealings. Matthew lived in a region of Galilee, which it was predominantly ruled, consisting of small towns and villages. You see, Galilee residents was an elite class of people. They were common folks. Most of them was farmers and fishermen. But it's amazing that Jesus chose all of his disciples except for Judas from Galilee. It tell you how Jesus worked. Jesus deliberately passed over the religious and the influential people, and instead chose a group of common and sometimes even sinful men to be his disciples. I guess the reason that Jesus did that, and when he looked at these people, no matter, and when he looks at us, it's no matter what state we in at this time, and it doesn't matter our shortcomings at this time. When God looks at us, when Jesus decided to select these men, he didn't choose them for where they were right then at that time, but he could see where they would be in time. I'll say that again. He didn't choose them for the state that they were in at that time, but he chose them because he knew what they would become in time. And that's the same way that Jesus do with us. You know, Jesus say, when I see you guys, since you accepted me as your Savior, when I look at you, I cannot see your sin. God say, when he looked at his children, he no longer see the sin, but he see his son. You know, Matthew's held one of the most despised positions in Israel. Tax collectors were hated by the Jewish society. And tax collectors didn't receive a salary. So they cheated the people to earn a living. You know, you would say, why would someone want to be a tax collector? Because they had the opportunity to make money off of the back of people's, other backs of the people. His occupation made him a traitor to the Jews. You see, Matthew was a Jew, and he collected the tax from the Jews, and at that time they was in oppression by the Romans, and he collected the tax for the Romans from the Jews, and yet he did terrible things to the Jews. So you could understand that he was despised. You know, they didn't even allow Matthew's to go to the synagogue. They wouldn't even accept his sacrifices, and they wouldn't even let him worship in the temple because of his dealings and his occupation. But you see, one day as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in a tax collector booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." He told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. You could find that in Matthew 9:9. And when Jesus called Matthew, he went, he followed, and he became one of Jesus' apostles and a disciple. You see, here we see that Matthew didn't go looking for Christ. Christ came looking for Matthew. And this is the same way that Jesus came looking for us. None of us woke up and just went looking for Jesus. Jesus always came looking for us. Matthew didn't procrastinate when he was called by Jesus. He could have said, "Not today, but tomorrow," but he didn't put off until tomorrow what he had to do right then that day. And as we all know, the rest is history. So that's some information on Matthew's and how Jesus chose him in the midst of his shortcoming in even simple ways. And the scripture tonight is Matthew 25:1-13, and it's the parable of the 10 virgins. And I'm going to read 1 all the way through 13. "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom." The 10 virgins is not 10 brides. And the bridegroom is considered to be Jesus. You see, well, we're going to get to that as we go by. "Now, 5 of them was wise and 5 was foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamp and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy some for yourself.' And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding. And the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.'" You see, this is a parable, and as we say it many times before, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You see, Jesus told things in parables and stories because it would make it most simplified for you to understand, because he associated the spiritual things with things that you were familiar with, earthly things. He told stories and he used events to show what can happen. And tonight, Jesus told his parable, which is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, to clarify what it means to be ready for his return and how to live until he come back. You see, in the story of the 10 virgins, we see that everyone is responsible for his or her own condition. Now, let's look at that a while. This is letting us know everyone is responsible for himself once you come into the age of being responsible. You know, you're not going to be able to say, "Oh, you know, my mama didn't teach me, my daddy didn't teach me." Once you get into the age, everyone is responsible for their own condition. And it shows the necessity of using well what God has entrusted to us until he returns. Things like our talent, our time, and our resources. You see, this parable is about a wedding, and 10 virgins are the bridesmaids, not 10 brides. It's only one bride. The bridegroom represents the church. Let me back it up a little bit. In those days when they had a wedding, and they was going to have a wedding, everybody was getting ready for the wedding. And everybody was waiting for the wedding. And they didn't know what time the bridegroom would come, but they had to be ready. Because when the bridegroom come, they would make an announcement, and everybody had to go out in the streets and everything and walk with the bridegroom to where the wedding ceremony would take place. So you just had to be ready. You had to be willing, able, and ready. And Jesus used this parable to show us we don't know when he's coming back, but we got to be ready. So what happened, they had the 5 virgins, and they was the bridesmaids, and they was waiting for the bridegroom to come. So they had to be ready, and you would walk the streets, and like the scripture said, they came at midnight, so they needed lamps, you know, for light. And so they knew that the bridegroom would come. They didn't know when he would come, but they should have been prepared and had the things that was necessary for them to be able to go and receive a blessing and be a guest. But they had 5 of them who was wise, so if they had their lamps filled with oil, they had some more oil on the side, so when it went out. But the other bridegrooms, they only went in with what they had, and by them being in the house, they didn't have electricity, so the oil was being used. And by the time the bridegroom came, they had no more oil. So they turn around and they look at the other brides and say, give me some of what you got. And you see the wise bridesmaids, the 10 virgins, was wise. Because they say, if we give you what we got, then, you know, we might run out. Then all of us will be stuck out. So, you know, this parable lets us know that we are all responsible for our own, you know, selves and our own condition. They messed up. You see, and the church, the bride, they say that the bride represents the church, not the church building. We are the church, the body of Christ. You see, the 5 virgins who had extra oil represented the true born-agains who are prepared and looking with earnestness for the coming of Jesus Christ. You see, we have to pay attention of what we're doing until Jesus come back. Just like these 5 virgins were caught not being prepared. And that's what Jesus is telling us in his story. But if we eagerly waiting for his return, then we should be doing the things that he asks us to do until he come back. You see, those wise virgins was willing to be prepared and doing what Jesus asked them to do, no matter how long the wait would be, no matter what circumstances that was coming their way, no matter what adversities, no matter what trials or tribulations, they still was going to be holding on to the confession of their faith and looking for Jesus. You see, the 5 virgin without oil represent Christians who procrastinate with the issues of life as well as the things of God. They are more concerned about the party than the longing to see the bridegroom, come on now, which is Christ. So with this saying, the bridegroom is Christ, and he's came to get his bride, which is the church. That's why they say we are the bride of Christ. That's why, because Christ is considered as the bridegroom. You see, many people hope is in their association with true believers. Some of them even go to church and even go to Bible study. And they believe that they could fake it, hoping that they will make it. And if they associate themselves with the people of God, they might just get by. Because you see, the foolish virgins ask the wise virgins to give us some oil. You see, this is, of course, one person's faith in Jesus cannot save another one. You see, what after the bridegroom came and announcements was made, and the five virgins who was wise lit their lamps and went out with the wedding party to go to where the wedding celebration would take place. But once everybody got to the wedding celebration, the doors were shut and they were locked. And what does this represent? When Jesus come back again, you will either have accepted him or rejected him. That's why they tell us to look for, accept Christ while the blood is running warm in our vein. You know, there ain't going to be no time when Jesus come back for somebody to say, oh, I done finally made up my mind. Because he's coming back for an elect people. See, when these five foolish virgins went and got him some oil, and they went to the wedding place where it was being taken, the door was shut, and they couldn't come in. And that's why it leads us to the place in the scripture where they cried out. They say, Lord, Lord, let us in. And the Lord said, the bridegroom said, I don't know you. And verse 11 and 12 fit very well with Jesus' condemnation of the false believers. You know, they say, we believe that once saved is always saved. And then some people, then when you look at this scripture, people will say that everyone who cries out to God will not be saved at that time. God's going to say, I do not know you. The scripture says, Matthew 7 and 21 said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father who is in heaven will enter. So I'm asked a lot of times the question, if once saved, always saved, and if there are people who say they believe in God, and then at that time they won't be accepted in the kingdom, how could that be? You got to always remember, everybody who cries and say, Lord, is not saved. You know, if some people say it just to be saying it. Some people say it because they think it sounds good. Some people say it and has never turned their heart over to God. And as I said earlier, some believe they could fake it till they make it, but there will be no faking. Because God looked directly at your heart. So what happened by the foolish virgins, bridesmaids were not prepared and not ready, and they missed the mark. Because when the bridegroom came, they had to go and get ready by buying more oil. You see, the lamp with oil represent those who are, the lamp with no oil represent those who are not prepared. You see, they procrastinate by putting things off what they should have done, in turn showed up late and was not able to enter. You see, procrastination is a spirit that is not of God. Procrastination is an act of willfully denying the doing of something that should be done. And in some people, it is a habitual way of handling everything and every task that comes their way. As Christian, we should be motivated to be diligent in our work, since the way that we handle things should ultimately be looked upon as serving the Lord. This is how we give him glory. God created all of us for his glory. And once we accept Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit come and live in us, God is watching what we do, how we do, when we do, and why we do. Because the things that we do give him glory. When we doing and being in our rightful place, it allow our light to shine. that men can see the good works. God wants you to be an instrument and an influence on the people and the unsaved people of the world. The way that you act and carry yourself and exhibit how God has blessed you and show what God is doing for you and show how you have your peace because you belong to God and show how you trust God. These are the things that give him glory. Whatever you do, work at it with your whole heart as working for the Lord and not for men. Because God say if you do things to show off in front of men, he said you're going to get a reward, but it's going to be a man's reward. But Jesus said, when I come back for my bride, I'm coming back with my rewards in my hand, and I will give each one of my children their just reward. You see? But if you do it just to be seen by men, then you got to live with the man's reward. And I hope it's enough for you. You see, if we put our hearts into our work, we will probably find it difficult to procrastinate. You see, because we're going to be doing what we need to do, when we need to do it, why we need to do it. And it's just plain simple as that. You see, the five wise virgins did everything that was necessary to be ready when the bridegroom comes. They did what they had to do to stay in position to receive the blessings. I want you to know that a lot of times we are out of position. I didn't say y'all, I say we. A lot of times we are out of position to receive what God has in store for us. You know, you got to be in position to receive. You got to be in your place to receive. You got to be in a frame of mind to receive. You got to be doing as God asks you to do to receive. You see, you got to be in position to sometime receive your blessing, not sometime, all the time. You look at other people and wonder how they got this or how they got that or how they doing that or how they have peace or how they trust and they go on and they don't stress and they don't worry because they keep themselves in position to receive the blessing. You see, they say when you know what and when to do, which is right, and don't do it, it's a sin. You know, sins is not always when you're doing wrong. Sins is when you know right and you just don't do it. You see, procrastination is a destroyer of blessings. Because I know plenty of times where people procrastinating, they may have a blessing waiting for them, and they miss the deadline by just not filling out the paperwork on time. You see, you cannot be in position if you are a procrastinator. You see, procrastination can rob your self-confidence, reliability, and your personal peace. You know, when you are procrastinating and everybody know that you are, they don't like to deal with you. They don't want to be on your team. They don't want something that they need to be in your hand because they don't know when and how you would do it because of your procrastinating spirit. You see, we make excuses for all our procrastination. Like there is just not enough time in the day. But I came to tell you tonight, if God gave 24 hours to a day, you better believe that it is enough time because God is a God of enoughness. You know, it's not the amount of time that you have. It's what you're doing with the time that you have. Procrastination makes us always look for others to blame for our shortcomings. Did you know procrastination was attached to the blame game? Because you're a procrastinator and you done made it your way of life, so you don't feel nothing's wrong. So now when something is coming down on you, you got to look to somebody to blame. And when you have ran out of people, places, and things, reality now forces you to look at yourself. And only then can you grow. Everywhere you go, you are late. And I just want to let you know that don't make no sense. And you say things like the devil is really busy. We have to stop giving so much credit to the devil. Remember, his power is limited. Some of your trials may just be because of you. We ask God for things, and we're not willing to put in the work necessary to receive them. Come on now. You know, Lord, I want to buy a house, but yet you let your credit be bad. Lord, I want a car, and you don't have a down payment. And don't get me wrong, God can work all of that out, you know, because a person who don't have a down payment, they might really doing the best that they can, and God knows that because he looks at the heart, and he may make a way out of no way for them. But you see, God does what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. So just because he did it that way for Mary, don't make you, he's going to do it that way for you. So the best thing to do is stay in position. The best thing to do is keep yourself in order. You see, God is always doing his part, and we must learn to do ours. You know, sometimes people don't like to pray, and they don't like to study the word of God, and plenty of people deny that fellowshipping with other believers is necessary. They say it don't take all of that, making excuses again, like saying, God knows my heart. God do know our heart. He know each and every one of our hearts, but God has given us a Bible that have his word, and he asks that we do A, B, and C. He asks that we do this and do that. You know, God don't ask us to fellowship with believers because it's going to make him more God. If you look at life, every birds of a feather flocks together. If there are people out here on crack cocaine, they go to the crack house and all of them be together. You find a shady tree where all of the winos hang out, and they all there together. You know, the prostitutions meet up on the street, and they walk the blocks together. So if all of these people be with their kind for, you know, for some time frame, if you are a child of God and you are a Christian, where would you go or where would you be to be with your like kind? It depends on you. But God wants to know what you're going to be, what you have done while you're waiting for him. You see, procrastination can become your perception. You make it your reality, and then you begin to accept it as a true way of doing things. Procrastination make you lose the ability to prioritize. You procrastinate so much, you don't, you know, your prioritizing skills is just dead. They're gone. They're, you know, you don't have that. You see, it's possible to become so good at procrastinating that so many things can actually become piled up high enough to stretch you out. And now you're overwhelmed and you're wondering where God is. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'm doing my part, but you got to do yours. You see, by the time you reach this level of procrastination, there will be no growth. Because with the procrastination, you are not allowing any room to grow. You see, procrastination can cause you to have broken dreams, many financial mishaps, shattered employment, failed relationships, missed opportunity, and sometimes will just have you feeling unsuccessful. We have to watch that spirit. You see, the most successful people are the ones who make sacrifices and do the things they don't always want to do. Come on now. things you don't feel like doing, you know, successful people don't feel like doing them properly either. You see, no commitment should be made without counting the cost. Sometimes the procrastination is with good intentions. You know, sometimes you have good intentions, but you take on too many commitments. When you take on a commitment, you should count the cost. If I could do it, should I do it, will I do it, will God be pleased? And you know, count the cost. Because if you don't, it can cause physical and spiritual conditioning. Your spiritual and physical condition to deteriorate. I came to tell you today that pressure will kill you. Stress will take you out. God does not dwell in those things. God does not put those things on us. God gave us a way. He gave us a manual to keep ourselves from them areas, but you got to read the manual and you got to put what the manual say into place. Why some people always look like they have peace? Why they not stressed out all the time? Because they're probably doing something different than what you're doing. And if they're always like that and you know that's true, just look at them, ask them, pick up on what they do, and change your game. God said, use others for example. The good, do it. The bad, don't do it. The principle of counting the cost should apply in every area in our lives. Every area in our lives. When we take on something, think about something, dream about something, we should count the cost of what it would take to do it. Is it something that will please God? Can I make this happen? You know, people go into business and a business flop, one business after another, because they're not counting the cost. You know, we get in relationships that we know not good for us, but we have, you know, especially women, we creatures of hope, and we're going to hope that it's going to be all right. We don't count the cost. You know, there's somewhere in the Bible said a hand right be right on the wall, and yet you don't read it. But you see, the principle of counting the cost should apply to every area of our life, because procrastination can cause us to enter a period of severe consequences for our action that can cause problems for us now and way into the future. You see, sometimes people who procrastinate allow themselves to become in need. Y'all know anybody like that? They procrastinate with paying their bills. They procrastinate with doing what they need to do with their paycheck. They procrastinate with this. They procrastinate with taking care of their needs. You know, they procrastinate with their needs, but they do everything they want. You see, all of us know people like that in our lives. Some people who procrastinate allow themselves to become in need, and they expect their emergencies to become your urgencies. Come on now. Because you got to remember, when somebody wants something from you, they don't care how you get it. They don't care if you got it. They don't care how many times they ask you. When people do that, people are people who want what they want at that moment. And they'll lie in anything to get it. They're going to pay you back on Friday. And no, they ain't going to have no money Friday, but they do it. And a rule of thumb, God, you know, is telling us people will do us anything we allow them to do. And you have to watch, you know, for you to become overwhelmed with the emergencies of others, that they try to make it become your urgencies. Do not be overburdened. Do not overburden yourself by burning a candle on both ends. Face the facts and be realistic. The Bible says, let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. What that mean? Don't say yeah if you mean no. And don't say no if you know you want to say yeah. Let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. And you got to know one thing. Because some people problem and say too nice, and we know people take kindness for weakness. Some people are gullible. Some people are naive. We have all of these kind of people. But I want to tell you something. You cannot be everything to everybody. And the word no used in the right situations are really blessings. I say it in the right situation. And you got to know that yes is not the answer to everything or everybody. You should say yes and can do all that you promise. You will say yes and can't do all that you promise. Now you're overwhelmed. And guess what? When that happens, you get angry. You might even start saying, they asked me to do this. I'm tired of doing this, you know. And it bring up all of that anger and all of that sprite, all of that strife. And if you would have just counted the cost and saw you couldn't do it and you would have said you couldn't, you wouldn't be in the state that you're in. Do not take on more than you can chew. If we procrastinate when things don't go the way we planned them, we must ask ourselves, what part did we play in this? You know, some people have said, well, I missed the deadline, you know, and now I can't get whatever it is. You know, and they're not looking at themselves, because if they'd have did what they should have did, you know, they wouldn't have missed the deadline. But now they have a problem, and they're coming to you, and they got all these excuses, and they don't understand what they done, what part they play in it. We have to ask ourselves in our situation, adversities. You know, some of the things that happened to us, God told us just because we love the Lord, it didn't mean that we wouldn't have trials, tribulation, and adversities. Okay, we know that. But, and we know that Satan is busy on his job and he's doing things and trying to block us and stop us. That's real. Trials, tribulation, adversity is real for everybody. But you have to distinguish. And then the other thing, like with Job, sometimes it's only a test. But you have to distinguish if some of these problems and adversities that you have were self-inflicted, you got to, at some point, begin to want to change it around. Because now you could only look at yourself. You know, we look over our lives and we think about where we should or where we could have been. And we realized that some of it was just procrastination. You know, we might not have reached where we wanted to be because we walked in fear. And some of us are just plain lazy at times. But, and then many of us place our priorities in the wrong place and in the wrong order. But I came to tell you that the good news is we can change. You see, there's a scripture in Romans that teaches us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, because God is not a God of fear. He's not a God of laziness, and he always leads and guides us to put first things first, but we got to trust him. We have to submit unto him, and we have to obey him. You see, we must first face the facts and then decide to do something about it. Yes, it is true. God does expect a lot from his children. No more than you expect a lot from your children. But he will give you the strength and the resources to accomplish far more than you could ever think that you can. When God gives you something to do, he has already supplied the provisions to do it. He give us something to do, and everything is there and everything is in place, but we procrastinate. So as I close tonight, I want everybody to know that God wants us to manage properly what we have now, what he's going to give us, and what he has already given us. And God is teaching us to be good stewards over our time, our talent, and our resources, because he's coming back again. And when Jesus comes back, he's going to have the reward in his hands. And he's not going to come to judge you if you save or not. Because you see, when Jesus comes as the bridegroom and he comes for the church, that's everybody who's already saved. But what God is going to be doing and his rewards in his hand is going to be for what you have done. And he's going to want to reward you for what you have done while you are waiting for him to come. You see, he's waiting to entrust us with more. But you know, sometimes you got to take care of what you already got to take care of before you could get some more. You see, he's waiting to entrust us with more once we accomplish the task that is already before us. Come on now. In fact, if you don't learn to appreciate and manage well our time and the responsibilities we have, we run the risk of losing them. You know, the old wise tale say, baby, I'm going to tell you, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Come on. If you're not in position, you can't catch it. Come on. It is said that if you don't use it, you lose it. Learn to tackle what is before you. And not only your duties and all of that, even your sins. You know, I know positively we will never be sinless. Sinless in reference to no sin. But our job is to learn how to sin less. I hope y'all got it. We will never be sinless. That's like free from sin totally. Become this perfect person. We will never be sinless. But our job is to learn how to sin less than we sinned before. Clear your mind of things as soon as possible. Because what's undone stays on your mind. And Satan wants to keep them there. Because the devil's aim is to keep you from being God's blessed. When we properly handle the things of God, God will supply us with more. Because you got to remember, to whom much is given, much is required. When you see people who have much, sometimes you wonder why. And I'm not saying everybody with much. It's just because, you know, they do so much of it is. You know, some things just are. You know, you know, God does what he want, when he want, how he want, for who he want. You know, if the man who out there selling drugs and he has so much, but he's taking a chance and a risk and he's doing those things to get it. But I'm talking about doing where God could be pleased with you and your blessings from God. And you got to remember what God counts as rich doesn't mean how much money you have. Because I have seen a lot of people in my life. You have to look at the experiences in life. You have to look at the things in life that God show you. For example, they could have somebody live in a house that plenty of people may not think is a good house. And those people, you know, eat their food and they get satisfied and they just happy. You see, that's true richness. Because Paul said, I learned to be content in the state that I'm in. But I don't want you to be slothful. God don't want us to be slothful, and he don't want us to procrastinate. But, you know, some things is going to be just as they are. Because the Bible teaches that the poor is going to be always with it. But they might be poor in the eyes of the world system, but they could be rich in God. So it's not all about who got the most money. But you see, the things of God, you know, you want to be fruitful, and the fruit of the Spirit, you know, you want to be, you know, deal with love and joy and peace and gentleness and kindness and goodness and faith. You know, those are the riches that God has given us through the Holy Spirit to make us one of his best. So tonight, I'm just saying, we should properly handle the things of God. And God will supply us more. To whom much is given, much is required. And you got to know that only what you do for Christ will last. And that's our story for tonight. That's our Bible study lesson for tonight. God is truly in the blessing business. You know, it's God say that I own everything. I'm the creator of all things and I own all things. He's saying, what good would it be for me, your heavenly Father, to not see that you have? But we got to go. We got to act. We got to get in position to receive. You know, there's a song that Mary Mary sing, and they, you know, in the record, I don't know all of the record, but they say, you know, the people were looking at him, and she said, you don't know how much I gave. You know, you don't know how much I prayed. You know, she was saying, and I guess in a sense, those things would be things that would put people in position. So we have to evaluate ourselves. And I don't say yourself, I say we. Because all of us are pressing for the mark, and God is not through with none of us yet. And like I say, none of us will be sinless perfect, but it's our job to learn how to sin less. And at this time, if anybody would like to make a comment or ask for prayer or give a word of encouragement, you could press the one button on your phone, and I will open a mic. We have about 9-10 minutes left. And, you know, it would be nice to hear from you. You know, and if not, we're going to go ahead into prayer and then, you know, like I do, play the music. But if anybody would like to make a comment or add to this, you know, one person will know everything. And we come together as a family to, you know, Bible study. And you may have a word that the way you say it can make it more clear for someone else, you know. So I have a caller that pressed the button. Your number is 23760. Your line is open at this time.
Hi, Miss Diane. How you doing? Glad to see you back and safe. I'm just calling for prayer and let you know I was in the prison. Thank you.
And who's this so we could call your name?
Sandra Bridges.
In prison. Huh?
Sandra Bridges.
Okay,
Sandra.
We have Miss Sandra Bridges. Sandra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have Miss Sandra Bridget that's asking for prayer, and I'm so grateful that when someone calls, we do lift the people up in prayer, because I get a lot of calls telling me that, you know, that they have lifted the people up in prayer. So we're going to lift Miss Sandra up in prayer. Is there anyone else need a? And thank you for commenting on me safely getting back, and thank you guys for your prayers while I was gone. And it's a real treat and a blessing to be with you. Thank you, Miss Sandra.
You're welcome.
I have another caller that had their line open. It may have been a mistake. They hung up. If you're calling, your number 985-860. Your one button was pressed. If you want me to open the mic, call back. Is there anyone else who would like to make comment? If there's anyone who would like to lead us out in prayer, you could press the one button on your phone. I got another caller. Caller, your number is 985-744. Your line is open right now.
Hi, Miss Diana, Sister Diana.
How you doing, darling?
I'm doing fine. I'm praying for you and your family. Of course I am. You're in my prayers. I'd like for y'all to have prayers for my sons. I have three of them, two kids and a grandson. But I can't even add anything to what you said tonight. It was beautiful. It really, really was. The only thing I can say is that every night, just to reevaluate myself, to think what I could have done different, to think what I could have did a little better, you know, that's, you know, for Jesus Christ. That's the only thing I can say. But everything you said was beautiful, and I love you for it.
And I thank you so much. I thank you, because that encourages me to go on. And what you're doing is all that God asks us to do. Because like I say, we will never be sinless. We just have to find a way to turn away from some of the things that we do. You know, we say the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. But if we know ourselves, there are still some there, and that's the ones we have to work on. But what you're doing is absolutely what is necessary. So just keep holding on. Just keep holding on. They have a caller. The number is 504-609-7597. Your line is open.
All right. Good evening, Diane. This is Colette. How you doing? And everybody.
I'm fine, darling.
Oh, good. Yeah. I just want to say that, you know, I feel myself going, and, you know, that's what we have to do. We have to evaluate ourselves, because that's who he's looking at, like you're talking about when he's coming back and stuff. And if you and like you say, we do everything in part. And Corinthians tell us that too. And that, but I find myself growing because I can see my areas of weakness, and I can get better. And like you say, it's never going to be perfected. Not until God changes things, I guess, when we live this life after this. But I can see my growth. And like you, and I can see, and the things that you say, you did touch everything. I think he really wants us to be earnest in what we do and just be sincere. And if and I think he'll order our steps, because he said good steps are ordered by God. I say, but I can see the changes in my life, you know, and I'm satisfied with it. Not everything, because like you say, we stumble, but I try to keep my eyes on focus one way, you know. And I can see the blessings of God. It's, and you know what's so amazing? I won't be able to tell you tonight because I know it's long, but two great miracles happened in my life so far. I mean, we all have testimonies, but I'm saying actual things that when you can live and see the miracles of God is a blessing, you know. So and I can feel like I'm on the right track, even though, like you say, what we need to do is always be on guard and be on watch, you know, because you never know when he's coming, and, you know, and that's what he's looking for. But, like, we still do things in part. But you touch everything that, you know, and what my weakness is, what you touch so, you know, so much is sometimes procrastination. And then I have a weakness for people because I will. And God spoke through you tonight for me because, well, I'll give all my money away. And I don't have money at the time because I am a free giver, you know. And, like, you need to be wise in that because the months that I've spent, 14 months I've spent home on workman comp, I have experienced how many people will help you, but I just really don't worry about who will help me. I'm more about, I'm a giving person, you know. But, like,
right.
God spoke to you for me tonight, and I thank, you know, thank God for that, for speaking through you, you know. Because I learned some lessons tonight, you know, and anything to learn is to gain, you know, especially when it's right, you know, and God will let you know what is from him, you know. So I'm blessed.
That
thank God
so true.
For this, you know. Thank you, you know, and I'll pray for everybody that's online. I don't know who all is online, but, you know, y'all all be in my prayers, you know, including you, Diane.
And I sure do. Thank you so much, and thank you for the comments, and thank you for, you know, elaborating on what was said, because that's what we have to know. We have to be wise in our dealings with people. We have to, you know, every answer ain't yes and every answer ain't no. But you have to be led by the Spirit. You have to ask God what he wants you to do, because, you see, we are emotional people, and we are emotional beings, and we're going to do emotional things. We're going to have emotional feelings. We're going to, you know, and we feel like that's what God wants us to do. But, you know, sometimes it's just you wanting to do it. And sometimes, you know, the devil could be pushing you up to do it. But the point is we have to be wise. See, they had five wise virgins and they had five foolish. You know, it's amazing that Jesus took the time and made that parable and gave it to us because he wants us to learn from it. You have to ask yourself when the word of God go forth, what do God want you to get from this? You know, what do God have in, what was God's reason for writing this for me? And believe there is a reason, and there's always a season and a reason. God is a God of purpose, and he did nothing without purpose, and he didn't have anything in included in his Bible that wasn't necessary. So we have to believe that it was all necessary. Right now, God allowed all of this, and it's just a wonderful time. And right now, it's just 9:30. Imagine all that God could let go forth in 1 hour. But if anybody else would like to make a comment, you could press the 1 button on your phone. If anybody would like to lead us out in prayer, you could press the 1 button on your phone and be mindful of the people that has asked for prayer. And if nobody want to pray, it's 9:30. I'll go to the throne of grace, and I'll go ahead on and pray. After I pray, I'll put music on because plenty of people stay on and listen to music. And once the music is playing, if you decide that you want to still say something, you could press the 1 button and I could still bring you into the studio. But let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Lord, all we could do is say thank you. Lord, I pray that your word don't return void and that each person where it fell on their ears, that they got something, dear God, that they could use in their life and their living for God. Heavenly Father, I'm going to ask you that you look down and give special prayer for the people who call in for prayer. We had Sister Diane, dear God, and her 2 sons and her 1 grandson, dear God. I'm asking that you touch them, dear God, and give them the blessings that they're in need of. And, Lord, thank you for her being a mother and concern about her children. Thank you, dear God. And I'm asking for Sister Sandra Bridges that she received from you the things that she needs and what she's looking for. Heavenly Father, and Sister Colette, while she deal with her situation, And learning of you, dear God, teach her, dear God. Teach her exactly which way you want her to go. Not sometime, dear God, but in all of her dealings. Let her count the cost, dear God, that involve doing the things that she's going to do. And I'm sure she's going to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the forum we had tonight. And thank you for the callers that came and called in and made comments, dear God, so that we know that our work won't be in vain, dear God, and thank you for allowing me to receive the encouragement, dear God, and thank you for your son and your spirit. Thank you for the parable that Jesus gave and the teaching that you wanted us to learn, and Lord, we can't make it without you, and because you, all things are possible. Lord, I'm just asking that you teach us how to hold on to your unchanging hand. Lord, send us, and we will go, dear God, just like Matthew's, dear God. When you called him, he got right up. Lord, we realized that we didn't go looking for you, but you came looking for us just as you did with Matthew's. Lord, you didn't choose him because he was sinless. You chose him because, you know, once he accepted you and he understood that he would begin to sin less. But, Lord, we want to thank you for all that went forward, and we want to thank you for your son, Jesus, and we want to thank you for your Holy Spirit. Teach us, dear God, in a way that we should go. Hold us, God, so that we won't stumble and fall. Use us, dear God, that you could get the glory and the honor. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and others I ask in your darling son, Jesus' name, for all of our sakes. Amen, and thank God. So that's the benediction prayer, and at this time, I'm going to play music, and the people who will start hanging up will have got the benediction prayer because there's blessings in the benediction. And here's the song.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord, I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told
program for tonight. If anyone would like to make a comment at this time, you still have time. You could press the one on your button. If not, I just want to let you know that God loves you, and so do I. And that's our program for tonight. And if it's God's will, we will meet back on next Wednesday, same time, same station.